Physicist and solar boat builder David Borton is back with Equality Under the Law, Practical Physics. This week, he and WOOC correspondent Megan Marone discuss heating waters, Florence heat conduction, and how Earth is a planet with a little bit of land and a lot of water.
Hi, Dr. Borton. We're back. We're here by the Hudson River. I'm going to throw something at you. Do you know any good physics jokes?
Oh, yeah. It's a little long.
Is it about the grasshopper that walks into a bar?
No. Okay, if it's green and wiggles, what is it?
Physics.
Right, okay. If it smells, what is it?
Physics.
No, chemistry. If it doesn't work, what is it?
Physics.
That's a pretty good joke because physics is always working. Chemistry also, and biology is the result of physics and chemistry. So all of that is driven, and as we sit out here looking over the Hudson River in the sunshine, it's all driven by the energy of the sun.
Yes, well, thank you for speaking with me on this beautiful, I guess it's almost autumn, right? We are in almost autumn.
Yeah.
We've been watching days upon days of the storm, Hurricane Florence, and then the effects of the storm. On a previous episode of Equality Under the Law, you said, using me as an avatar for everyone, your life is, to a large extent, dependent upon the ocean. Off recording, I asked you about the Coriolis effect. So what do you think, in terms of our lives here in Troy, New York, could you elaborate a bit on how our lives are impacted by the ocean, the Coriolis effect, what it is, the Gulf Stream?
Sure. Let's start with the fact that the Earth is this big ball of water with a little bit of land here and there. And the sun shines on this Earth and it's spinning. And it spins with a North Pole and a South Pole that are mostly aimed away from the sun. So most of the solar energy hits the middle of the Earth, around near the equator. And what happens when you have one place that's hot and another place at the poles where the heat from the Earth radiates out into space, and space is very cold. So the poles are cold and the equator is hot, and what's going to happen?
Everything's going to get hot.
Well, heat goes from a hot place toward a cold place, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that happens on the Earth. And so you think you have heat trying...
Well, when you say that, pardon me, you mean in terms of currents and just in general. That's just the movement of heat in terms of physics on planet Earth.
Yes. If you have a hot cup of coffee and you put your hand on it, the heat flows from the hot coffee into your hand and you might get burned. If you have a cup of iced coffee and you pick it up, heat flows from your hand into the coffee and your hand feels cold. So heat is always moving from a warmer place to a cooler place.
Very quick digressive question, and then I would be curious to get back onto the whole idea of the ocean and life on Earth and sketching life on Earth in relation to the sun and how we are on this ball of water, basically, with land here and there. But how is heat conduction used in technology? And is it used in any renewable energy technology?
It's used in all these things.
Oh, sure. Solar panels, right? Yeah, everything.
Everything. People have cars, and cars have water in them to cool the engine. And the warm water goes to a radiator, and the radiator gets hot because the hot water heats the radiator. And the radiator then gets the heat into the cooler air around the car. So there's conduction of heat from the engine into the atmosphere to keep the engine from getting too hot. Just one example.
Thank you. I just was curious about that. And obviously, heat conduction is in all, like you're saying, all renewable technology. So back to sketching out our lives on planet Earth. So here we are on this little desert island planet. I'm being dramatic now in our condition. And so getting back to the ocean and water, what were you going to say about the Gulf Stream, the Coriolis effect, and water in relation to our lives?
Okay, so we're saying that the equatorial regions get more energy from the sun, and so they're hotter, and so that the water near the equator gets hotter. And if you think about the water in the Gulf of Mexico, that tends to get hotter too. The Caribbean, the water gets hotter. and what happens to hot things compared to cold things, all other things being equal. The heat
rises.
Right, the heat rises so that the surface waters of the oceans get warmer. And we were talking about the poles being cold, and if you have hot water near the equator and cold near the poles, which way is the water going to tend to flow?
Towards the poles.
Right, exactly. Okay, so now you have water flowing toward the poles from this heat effect, warm water rising and coming up, and then it's headed toward the poles. But as it goes towards the poles, it doesn't go in a straight line, and that's because of the Coriolis effect. If you think about sitting on the equator and shooting a bullet toward the North Pole, when you're on the equator, the Earth is spinning. So you shoot a bullet with some speed toward the north, but because the Earth is turning, the bullet is already going about 1,000 miles an hour to the east, so that the bullet already has some motion to the east. So with respect to the Earth, the bullet goes to the east as well as to the north. And so the bullet doesn't follow straight north, the bullet curves to the right. And the same thing happens to the Gulf Stream. This is called the Coriolis effect. It tends to curve to the right.
So the Coriolis effect is just the more specific term for the Gulf Stream.
It's a very general physics principle about motion on a rotating body, and it applies to the Gulf Stream.
Okay, so again, but we're sitting here by the Hudson. Why should we feel like our lives are connected to the Gulf Stream, ocean currents very far away? When you were talking about how the surface of the water gets warmer, we know that in terms of surface level temperature rising, that storms can get even bigger. So if you have a storm out at sea, it gains strength because of that surface heat. We know that that happened with Hurricane Sandy. It probably happened with Hurricane Florence. I'll have to look and see
yes,
the trajectory.
Yes, it absolutely is happening with Florence. But let's get a little more general. What kind of water do you drink? Do you drink salt water from the ocean?
No, but I mean, I love swimming in the ocean and have swallowed it.
Yeah, okay.
You couldn't live on it, though.
Right. You live on fresh water, and all the fresh water that you live on is distilled by the sun, and most of that comes out of the oceans because that's where the water is. So the sun distills it out of the oceans. It goes up into the atmosphere, into the clouds. The clouds move, very complex how air moves, just like we're talking about water currents moving, air currents move. And the air currents bring this water to Troy, New York, and the Adirondacks. And so the fresh water that we drink here in Troy is distilled by the sun, and we would die without that fresh water.
Which is why it's so important. Yeah, all the streams that feed into the Hudson and, you know, people being concerned about microplastics and things like that being in those streams and in the Hudson itself, because that's it. That's what we drink.
And we all live downstream. So there's no throwing away. You throw something away in the Adirondacks, it comes to Glens Falls. You throw something in the water in Glens Falls and it comes to Troy. You throw something in the water in Troy, it goes out in the ocean. In the ocean, it gets into the fish, and you buy some fish in a fish market in Troy, and you're eating that pollution that could have come from anywhere along the way.
Hi, Dr. Borton. We're back. We're here by the Hudson River.
That was physicist and solar boat builder David Borton with Equality Under the Law, Practical Physics.